Good morning. It's time for our K-State Research and Extension Report. Today we have with us Meritazine Extension District Director, Agriculture and Natural Resources, and 4-H Youth Development Agent, Abby Powell. Good morning, Abby.
Good morning.
That's a lot of stuff going on, and that's kind of the way things work for you. A lot of stuff going on, including teaching classes and other things that people need to be aware of. I was talking to Rod Schaub recently about the burn management course that he's going to be teaching, which leads to the other part of why we burn off pastures, and that's grazing. What have you got for us today?
Well, I thought that I would share with your listeners what I presented in Garnet at the end of January at the Southeast Kansas Women in Ag Seminar, and it is 10 frequently asked questions when thinking about renting our pastures in Kansas. This information comes from agmanager.info, and if you're not familiar with that website and you are a livestock producer, crop producer, hay producer, it is a great resource that has a lot of different information pertaining to all things agriculture from the ag econ standpoint of things. These top 10 questions, and they'll go by pretty quickly because they're all pretty common sense things. The first one is, what is fair cash rent for my pasture? I can't exactly tell you this is what it's worth. You and the person you're interested in leasing it to can work together on that, and you as a landowner will need to kind of look at, what are my fences, what's my grass, what's a potential stocking rate, do I have water available? All of those different things come into play. And on agmanager.info, there's also a graphic of the state of Kansas that shows the lease rental rates in Kansas by county. And in Linn County, the average is right around $30. Is that necessarily the right price? No, but with who submitted the information, that is the average of those. And so that kind of gives you a good starting point. You may want to go lower, you may want to go higher, just depending what you have. And the second question is, what are the most common pricing methods for grass pasture in Kansas? Well, I'm going to talk Southeast Kansas because for the most part, we are doing price per acre, dollar per acre. As you get more into the Flint Hills and we're talking a shorter grazing season and we're maybe grazing yearlings and things like that, we can do more on a dollar per head. Or some people will even do dollar per pound where they weigh them in and weigh them out. But typically in Southeast Kansas, we are looking at a dollar amount per acre, and that's on a year lease. But again, you can work with the person you're renting to make whatever works for you. Maybe you as a landowner only want to rent 6 months out of the year, and that is totally appropriate. I know we have a pasture that we rent that we choose to only do a short-term grazing season just because the grass needs some rehabbing, and so those are different things to do that. What are the most common pricing methods for grazing growing crops or crop residue? That is question three. I don't have a great resource to say, oh, hey, here's an average for this. But a lot of times, if you are the person putting the crops in and you are renting the crop ground, a lot of times you can work out an agreement with the landowner to include waterways or crop residues in there. It is definitely a win-win situation, and maybe you add a little bit more to your price per acre on your crop leasing to add that in there. But if it's not something that you are growing, then maybe you can work something out. And so that is definitely not out of the question, but again, fencing and water definitely becomes an issue there. Okay, question four, what grazing priced method is best for my situation? Well, again, it's your situation, so you have to figure out what works for you. I will say most landowners prefer a price per acre. We talked about this earlier, but we also have to look at the type of grazing that we want to do and make sure that we are getting what makes us feel safe. Because if we start doing some things where we are going to do involvement in pricing based on gain, that puts some risk back onto the landowner that you probably don't want to have. Question five is, should tenants make long-term investments in the land? Some examples of this would be adding corrals, fence, or water development. And it's generally recommended that landowners are the ones that make the long-term investments. And so those would be the aforementioned things. Also, sometimes Lyme application is considered a long-term investment because it takes a while for that to be depleted out of the soil. But long-term investments are going to be made more by the landowners. Question 6, who's responsible for noxious weed control in the pasture? And it is the duty of the landowners and the tenants to help control the spread and to eradicate noxious weed on land. And that is according to Kansas law. And so we are all responsible for that, whether you be the tenant, the landowner. And then if you're not taking care of those, the county weed supervisor does have the authority to spray them and then charge the landowner for the service. So we're going to make sure that we are negotiating that in our contract. Question 7, should I have a written lease? My recommendation would be yes, but I also know that there are scenarios where that doesn't necessarily work. And then in that written lease, you can make sure to cover noxious weed or weed control, fertilization, fence fixing, different things like that. And at that meeting that we had in Garnet, we talked a lot about succession. And one lady in the crowd said, I tried getting written leases after my husband passed away, and I had one landowner refuse. And then, unfortunately, he passed away, and then his wife was having to manage all of it, and then she understood why I wanted that written lease. So having that in writing is definitely a good thing, but we want to make sure that things are clear. Question 8, how often should I adjust my pasture rate? We want to make sure that we look at those when market conditions change. There's a lot of volatility in ag commodities, and we have to make sure that we look at those. Also, on your leases, you might want to do those in a 1-year, 2-year, 3-year rental. Some people will do longer, but keeping those relatively short kind of helps adjust pasture rate. What information is available for publicly reported cash rental rate is question 9. And agmanager.info is a great place to go find those information. And so the last one they did was in 2020. I look for a new one to come out. And the final question is, when do I have to notify a tenant that I am terminating a lease? Well, unfortunately, as you are listening to this, you have missed the deadline for 2024. Because the deadline to notify a tenant that you are terminating a lease, be it pasture, cropland, is 30 days prior to March 1st. And it is written that way, obviously, because of leap year. We are in a leap year this year. You have to give written notice to them, and I would recommend that you send that certified mail and make sure you keep a copy. Now, do keep in mind that if there is a crop in the field, the tenant definitely has rights to that crop because they have put that in. And I will say that that notification can come from the tenant or the landowner because the tenant may want to give up that property or the landowner may want to change those things. And so those are kind of a quick rundown of the top 10 questions that we get when considering what should I lease my pasture for. And so if you want more detailed information, I know I went through that really quick, but you are welcome to call any of your local extension agents and they can help you with that. Or again, check out agmanager.info. I'm definitely doing a commercial for them, but they are great. They even have sample leases out there. So Audrey, that is what I have for you today.
That is fantastic. It's a lot of good common sense stuff.
Absolutely.
But when you're right there in the middle of trying to negotiate this contract, this lease, you're bound to forget something. So having this laid out in front of you, these are the important things to ask. That's a great idea. Yep. Are you going to be presenting this again?
I don't know the answer to that. It was very well received, so it may be in my pocket of potential presentations to give because it really stirred a lot of conversation. And it was a Women in Ag seminar, mm-hmm. and it gave them a lot to think about of, oh, I probably should know these things. And so it will definitely be something that I keep in my speakers bureau topics of conversation.
I would certainly hope so. I know I learned a lot, and this is not something that comes up for me very often. So good information to know just because.
Yeah.
Well, thank you very much, and we look forward to talking to you again.
All right. Thanks, Audrey.
Thank you. Coming up tomorrow morning at 6:40, Frontier Extension District 4-H Youth Development Agent Jessica Flory.